ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
चैप्टर एंटाइटल लॉर्ड इनकार्नेट्स एस मोहिनी मूर्ति। चक्रेण जहार पिबता शिरः हरिस्तस्य कबन्धस्तो सुदया प्लावितो पता।
पर्पट बाइज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड एट हरि यूजिंग हिज डिस्क विच वॉज शार्प लाइक अ रेजर एट वंस कट ऑफ राहुस हेड। वेन राहुस हेड वॉज सीवियर्ड फ्रॉम हिज बॉडी द बॉडी बींग अनटच्ड बाय द नेक्टर कुड नॉट सर्वाइव। पर्पट। वेन द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड एट मोहिनी मूर्ति severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus Rahu's head remained alive whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. Text number 26.
Shirastvamaratam nitam ajo graham achiklpat yasto parvani chandrarko abhidhavati vairadhi.
Translation. Rahu's head, however, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus, Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and the dark moon.
Purport.
Since Rahu had become immortal, Lord Brahma accepted him as one of the grahas or planets like the moon and the sun. Rahu, however, being an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, attacks them periodically during the nights of the full moon and the dark moon.
Hare Krishna. So we have come to the situation scene where Mohini Murti slices off Rahu's head and thus prevents any of the demons to take the nectar. And here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that although Rahu's body was dead, but his head was alive. And Brahma allowed him to remain as one of the grahas or the planets. We see in this material world, everyone wants to become immortal. No one wants to die. Everyone wants to live a long, long life. That's why we are all here struggling. But what happens? We are frustrated in our attempts. And ultimately, at the time of death, everything is taken away from us. For one who is born, death is certain. Whether somebody lives for 100 years, or somebody lives for maybe 150 years, or somebody lives for 300 years, one has to die. When we are talking about immortality here, ultimately it doesn't mean eternal life. It means a very, very long life, actually. Why the demigods and the demons actually fought here? Because demigods wanted a nectar so that they can get some bodily strength and then they can fight with the demons and defeat them. And ultimately we find when the nectar came, the demigods and the demons, they started fighting, and demons being powerful, they just snatched away the nectar from Dhanvantri. But then Lord came as Mohini Murti and took the nectar away from the demons and started distributing to the demigods. Ultimately, Rahu was one of the only one demon who actually got to get the nectar, but before it could go down the neck, the head was sliced. So in this world, everyone wants to live a long life for one purpose, so that they can enjoy their senses. But the material nature works in such a way that
Even to enjoy the senses, one has to work very hard. One has to work very hard. It doesn't come very easily. It doesn't come very easily. Srila Prabhupada very nicely quotes this particular verse. Udhyame nahi siddhyanti karyoni na manorathe nahi suptasya simhasya pravishyante mukhe mriga. Prabhupada mentions that in this world, nothing comes free or nothing comes easily. Even if somebody is a very great person in this world, he still has to work very hard. Just like gives an example of a king, the lion. He is a king of the jungle. But he also has to work for his food. Prabhupada mentions, nahi suptasya simhasya. It's not that the lion decides that I will now sit over here and I'll open my mouth and I will wait for the deer to come in my mouth. Prabhupada mentions that if it does so, then the deer will come, look into the lion's mouth and urinate and go away. That's what the deer will do. The lion also has to really hunt for its prey. It's not that because he's a king of the jungle that it comes easy for him, his food. As also there is an English saying, you know, there is no free supper in this material world. His Grace Bhavanand Prabhu once, he was mentioning, he was staying here for 2 days, 4 days, and the last day when he gave the lecture, he says, they all want me to dance for the supper. That means, you stay here, but then you are asked to give class, you are asked to give morning class, afternoon class, evening class. So, you get to stay here, but still you have to run around and give classes. See, he made a very nice essay joking. He said, they make me dance for the supper. Means you are given food, but then you have to dance for it. In the third canto, Kapila Muni mentions this very nicely. You know, very, very wonderful shloka. Yam yam artham upadyate dukhena sukha etave tam tam dunoti bhagavan puman sochati yat krite. Yam yam artham upadyate. In this material world, everyone is trying to acquire possessions. And they are struggling very, very hard. Struggling very, very hard. But the thing is that after struggling so hard also, what happens? Ultimately, they had to undergo some misery. It's not that you can achieve that and you can keep it for yourself. Moment you achieve some possessions, there is always going to be anxiety. Anything in this world. Whether you have some possessions or you have some name or fame, prestige, whatever is there, it doesn't last long. If an athlete gets a gold medal, he has to work very hard for the next year because there is someone else who is going to snatch away from him. It's not that he is going to remain like this and just sit at home and then do nothing. He just has to struggle and it's possible that somebody else may take away the medal which he has got or the trophy. One has to very work. Ultimately, it ends in misery because the law of material nature is that it doesn't allow you to remain on the top. You have to undergo this misery. Anxiety has to be there. Dukhena. Yam yam artham upadeti dukhena. But then, what is the hetu? Sukha. You want to enjoy, you want to become happy, but then ultimately there is dukha. And then it said, the third line, tam tam dunoti bhagavan. Dunoti means dhuna. Wash off. So, what happens? Ultimately, the Supreme Personality washes off everything. And then, one has to only cry in anguish. Nothing else. Puman sochati yat krite. And this is what happens in this material world. That everyone is struggling, but ultimately there is only misery. Why? Because the Supreme Lord, as a kala, as a time factor, he comes and takes away everything from us. He doesn't keep anything. When Alexander the Great, when he was about to die, he just told his ministers that when I die, just don't put any clothes on my body. Just put a little bit of piece of cloth and then just let my hands be open facing the sky. So the minister said, why are you doing like this? You are the greatest king Alexander the Great, you have conquered so much, so many kingdoms. Why not we dress you very nicely when you have left your body? He says, no, I want to show that though Alexander is the greatest, but still when he has to leave, he cannot take anything with him. He cannot take anything in his hands. His hands are empty. He cannot take anything. Prabhupada also mentions, once upon a time, the British Empire was at the helm, but now where is the British Empire? The Mughal Empire. Where are they? As I was reading, he said, Alfred Ford, Ambarish Prabhu, he was introduced to Prabhupada when he first met him. He said, Prabhupada, this is Alfred Ford, the great grandson of Henry Ford. So Prabhupada said, oh, where is he now? So suddenly Ambarish Prabhu is mentioning that I also started wondering, where is he? That means he's only name now. He was, now he's not. The great grandson of Henry Ford. But Henry Ford, where is he? He's just not there. It's just now only the name now. So you see, everything is taken away by the eternal factor, the time factor. Krishna as Kala, he takes away everything from us. In the Niti Shastra, it is mentioned that how, you know, very nice analogy is given. That the eternal time is compared to the expert gambler. You know how an expert gambler is? The expert gambler knows that he is going to win. Anybody comes to play, to gamble. What happens is the expert gambler sees him with his eyes. He knows how expert or how much he knows about gambling. And what he does is that, though he knows that he wins, or he can win, he doesn't allow him to win easily. He doesn't win easily. He makes the opposing party win sometimes. First time, second time, third time makes. And the opposing party, the party who has come to gamble, he wins. And he thinks that, you know, now I'm winning. And then he throws a dice and he takes away whatever he has. So the person who is playing, he realizes, what has happened to me? Up till now I was winning. And now I lost something. So he puts more at stake. And then the expert gambler plays. And then what happens? Again he starts winning, the opposing party. So he thinks, now I'm winning. So then slowly he puts so much in everything which he has at stake. And then what happens? The expert gambler, then he puts a final dice and then takes up everything. So it is said that Krishna is a eternal time factor. He is like an expert gambler. And he said that his eyes are the day and the night. So, and we are the party who are being gambled, put at stake. And every time we think that, oh, now I got this position, now I got this fame, now I got this position, now I got wealth. And then we lose. And we say, no, maybe it was a mistake, and then maybe I should strive hard, and then you strive more. And then you lose. And then again you strive hard. And then ultimately what happens? The expert gambler, that is supreme personality in the form of Kala, at a time of death, he takes away everything from us. He takes away everything from us. So this is the nature of all of us. And then what we do? Puman sochati yat krite, that we are all sitting there and crying over this. Prabhupada gives a very nice example. All of us know that a child, he goes to the beach and he starts playing. He builds a nice castle, roads, different paraphernalia around. And he goes on playing, he gets so much engrossed. But then what happens? One big wave comes and then takes away everything. And the child starts crying. So this is the state of all of us. That we are here in this material world, we struggle to achieve something. We want to make our life comfortable, live longer as much as possible so that we can enjoy. But ultimately, Krishna is Kala. He comes and takes each and everything of us. And then we just only sit and cry. Bhishma Dev, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the passing of Bhishma Dev, it's a very nice particular chapter. It's mentioned that how when Yudhishthir Maharaj won the battle of Kurukshetra, he was quite morose. And he was thinking that he is responsible for the killing of so many people in the battlefield. Krishna tries to convince him, but is not convinced. So Prabhupada the Purport also mentions that Krishna as a Paramatma also cannot convince Yudhishthir Maharaj, the Supreme Personality. At the same time, Krishna wants to see that the Paramatma in Bhishma convinces Yudhishthir and indirectly wants to glorify also Bhishma Dev. So Krishna suggests Yudhishthir Maharaj that we all go to Bhishma. Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows on the battle. And Krishna wants to glorify Bhishma and he wants Bhishma Dev to give him all the instructions which is necessary for Yudhishthir Maharaj and also take away the moroseness, the lamentation of Yudhishthir. And he advises him that you dress very nicely so that as a prince, as a king, so that Bhishma will be very happy to see you. So the Pandavas and Krishna, they go to Bhishma Dev. And as soon as Bhishma Dev sees the Pandavas, he starts crying. He starts crying. And there are a series of verses which just explains, you know, how Bhishma Dev is actually lamenting over the pitiable condition that the Pandavas had to face actually. You know. Aho kastam avonyayam yad yuyam dharma bandana jivitam narati klishtam vipradharma chutashraya. Aho kastam aho anyayam. Aho kastam. What terrible sufferings that you had to undergo. And what injustice you had to all undergo. Aho anyayam. Yad yuyam dharma bandana. That is, who are you? You are all the people who are following the principles of religion. But still you had to undergo all these things. Why is this happening? He is actually exclaiming. He is just wondering. He is just crying and just trying to say, why this is happening to you? For someone who has taken shelter of vipra dharma, achyuta ashraya. Achyuta. That is, the brahmanas, the religion, and Krishna also. Can you imagine? Like Bhishma is saying that Krishna is with you. The Supreme Personality is here with you. You have taken shelter of religion. You have been always been making attempts to please the brahmanas. But still so much of injustice has come upon you. So much anyay. And so much sufferings that you have to undergo. Why this is happening to you? And talking about Kunti Maharani. Samstite tirate pando pritha bala prajavadu yushmat krite vashobhakan. She says, Kunti Maharani tasmite tirateo pando. This particular lady, Kunti Maharani, she was the husband, wife of Pandu. But Pandu, after she left, she wanted to enter into fire. But then what happened? Because she wanted to take care of all of you, that's why she had to leave. Pritha bala praja vadu. When you are all very small, you are taking care by Kunti Maharani. But yushmat kite bahu lokan, that means even after you grew up also, what you did, you only gave her only klesha. That's small. Prapta toka vit. He says, you are only given her suffering and nothing else. And seeing this again, he starts crying. Bhishma Dev. And then he looks at the Pandavas and he's trying to wonder what has happened to him. He says, Yatra Dharma Suto Raja. Dharma Suto Raja. He's looking at Yudhishthir Maharaj and says, Yatra Dharma Suto Raja. You are the great person who is personified Dharma, principle of following the principle of Dharma. Gada Panir Vrikodhara. Looking at Bhima. The person whom no one can defeat. Bhima, once he decides to kill someone, impossible anyone can escape his hands from the cruel hands of death. Krishna Sri Gandhiva Chapam. There was this powerful Arjuna and Surit Krishna Tato Vipat. He says, there is this great Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhima, Arjun, and Surit Krishna. Krishna is a well-wisher. He is also there with you. But then, how has this happened? And Prabhupada in that purport mentions that what is it that the Pandavas did not have? The Pandavas had a power of pious acts.
the Pandavas have the power of personality, that means Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhima, Arjuna. The Pandavas had the power of expert management. The Pandavas had the power of weapons. And what else? The Pandavas had direct supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These five things, Srila Prabhupada mentions, the Pandavas had everything under them. But still, what happened? Then Bhishma Dev says, Sarvakalam kritam manne bhavata chayatya privam sapala yadvashe loko vayum hiva kanavali. Sarvakalam kritam manne. In my opinion, Bhishma Dev says that it is the time factor. Sarvakalam kritam manne. In my opinion. Bhavata chayat apriyam. And what happens? Sa palayat vashe loka. What it does? Even if the great personality is there, under the influence of this time factor, it's all washed away. How? Vayur eva ghanavali. Ghanavali means the clouds. The clouds in the sky may be very big cloud. It may appear very huge. But then when there is a wind blowing, the wind can just blow the cloud to a far off distance. So similarly, somebody may claim himself to be a very powerful personality in this world. But then the eternal kala, the time factor, just washes everything away. And then nothing remains under control. Then we realize that I cannot do anything. So here, Bhishma Dev is telling that in my opinion, I feel it's eternal kala factor. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that, do you mean to say that the eternal time factor is powerful than the Lord himself? That even though Krishna was there with them, but still the eternal time factor was acting on them. How is it possible? So do you mean to say it's powerful, much more powerful than Supreme Lord? So Prabhupada in the next statement he says, actually the eternal time factor is identical with the Supreme Lord. And it's just that the Kala is acting according to the instructions or the wishes of the Lord. That means everything is acting according to the wish of the Supreme Lord, the eternal Kala factor. All the great things what we do, everything remains just as a memory. Nothing else. Just as a memory. There's a very nice verse also from the Niti Shastra. It is mentions, Saramyam nagari mahan sanripati samant chakram tata parvishita chasa. I'll just read it. Parveshasa vidagda pratishat ka chandra bimbananam udrishya rajaputra neva ka bandinam ka katha sarvam yasya vashad agata smritipadam kalaya tasmai namaha. It is said that Sa Ramya Nagari Mahan Sad Nripati Samant Chakram Tata. He says there may be a great empire and also a very powerful king. Sad Nripati Samant Chakram Tata. It says Parshve tasya sa vigad parikshat ka chandra bimbananam. There may be powerful ministers who are helping one to rule. And there may be very beautiful queens. But he says, where have they all gone? Ka chandra bimbanam. Where are all these personalities gone now? Once upon a time they were there. Where are they all gone? Udrishyate cha rajaputra nivaha. He says, where is all the powerful princes gone? Ka bandhi naam ka katha. They all bound or under the influence of the time factor. It says, sarvam yasya vashat aghata smuti patam kalaya tasmai nama. It says, sarvam yasya vashat aghata smuti patam. All these have now been only remaining as memory. Smuti padam, patam. Means now it's only in the name. Once upon a time, there was a king, or once upon a time there was an empire. Smuti patam, and he says, I offer my obeisances unto this Kala factor. So you find that the influence of Kala turns everything into only memory, nothing else.
And one devotee was mentioning that all the things in this world are converted into only memory after a few time. All the drishtipatam is converted into smritipatam. But he says, but for a devotee who has invested all his time in serving the Lord, for him the smritipatam becomes drishtipatam. Very nice way by which you can meditate on this. Like example is of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj would remember the Lord all the time. And the result was that when Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him, then it so happened that the smritipatam became drishtipatam. The remembrance of the Lord, actually he could see face to face. So Prabhupada mentions that if one invests all his time or every moment of his in the service of the Lord, then sure that ultimately he will come face to face with the Lord. He will be able to see the Lord at the end of his life. And for the materialistic people, for people who are engaged in sense gratification, all the assets which they have ultimately will remain only in the memory. And we will be saying, gone are the days when I would do like this, or when this had happened or when that had happened. So it will only remain in names or smriti that it was like that. But for a devotee, when you make your asset Krishna and everything related to Krishna, then everything turns into drishtipatam. That means at the end of the life, one actually sees Krishna face to face. And that's why I said that one should never waste a single moment. Because every moment gone is gone forever. It's 9 o'clock now. 8th of January 2010. It's 9. So that 9 o'clock will never come again. Once my friend showed me a picture. He clicked on camera. It was a very new camera at that time when I was in the college. And that time that digital was not there. It had date and year and time, everything on the photo which comes, which would come. No digital at that time. But then he had a camera by which you click and then you develop, and in a photograph you also get the date. So he that time casually made a statement. He said, this moment is now permanently etched. This particular picture is etched now in the history. That means we have clicked that particular moment. So now I started realizing it's etched, yes, but where is it now? That moment is gone. That particular date, month, year is gone. So now 9 o'clock is gone. Now it's 9:01. So one moment is gone, right? So every moment goes like this. And then ultimately one day we'll be facing death, right? Everyone has to do that. Everyone has to face death. So our Raghunath Prabhu, you all may be aware of this, but then I'll just try to repeat. Our Godbrother Raghunath Prabhu, he gives lectures in time management. So he was saying how the importance of time is there. And there are different measurements of time. That is year, month, then week, days, hours, minutes, seconds, microseconds. You don't go beyond that. The scientists go beyond. So eight. So you are saying that what is the value of this time? So you're saying that if you want to know the value of a year, then you ask a student who has failed an exam. A student who has failed an exam, he will know the value of that year. We know one person who was a very good, brilliant student, and that student failed her final exam. And it was so much impossible for that person to digest that, it was failed. Because that 1 year is gone. So someone who has lost that year, he only realizes that, that value of that year. That means he has to wait for one more year to clear that exam. There is so much of anxiety, so much of trauma. People sometimes commit suicide when they fail. Because of the anxiety and the trauma associated with it. If you want to know the value of a month, you ask a pregnant lady. You deliver a baby when you are 9 months. But suppose you deliver a baby when the lady is only in the 7th month or 8th month, then the child has so many problems. Premature baby. The child has been kept in the incubator. and sometimes the child leaves the body. So much of anxiety for the mother also. And if the child remains in the womb for beyond 9 months, so that also is very painful for the mother. So the value of a month, you know only from a pregnant lady. If you want to know the value of a week, then you ask an editor of a weekly magazine. So if that person doesn't come out of the magazine on a Sunday, instead of that, the magazine comes on Wednesday, then that magazine has no value. Because the next week again, another week, the magazine has to come. That value becomes zero almost. So the editor of the weekly magazine constantly on his toes that he gets the magazine right on time on that particular day. If he misses even one day, gone, that particular magazine will not have much sale. He says, if you want to know the value of a day, then you ask a daily wager. Someone who works every day and gets the money. If that person doesn't get work on that particular day, he doesn't get the money. Sometimes you find people, you see at a Grand Road station also, they sit with the carpentry tools and everything. You know, that means they don't have any work. If somebody comes and approaches them and then takes them home for some job, then they'll get some money. Otherwise, sometimes they have to sit the whole day and then go back home. That means that day no money. You'll not get anything. If you want to know the value of an hour, it seems, ask a lover who is waiting for a beloved at Nariman Point. The lover has to go home at a particular time, and that lover has taken half an hour or 1 hour. She has left the office 1 hour early so that she can meet a beloved. But unfortunately, the beloved has not come to meet, and the time is clicking away. So every that hour is so precious for that. Because if that lady goes home late, then there are so many questions going to ask, why are you late? So if you want to know the value of an hour, ask a lover waiting for the beloved. If you want to know the value of a minute, then you ask a person who has missed a 7:53 local train for Churchgate. Because that person catches 7:53 local, he reaches at 8:30, and then from there he gets a bus to go to Colaba. The bus is waiting. The office company bus is waiting for at 8:30. So if that person misses the 7:53 local, that means he has to catch the next local, which is after 4 minutes or maybe after 2 minutes. But then that much delay at the station, and then he misses the bus. So you ask a person. That's why you find, you know, people running. They don't mind. They may jump on anyone. They just push oil to just get into the train. Or sometimes even risk their lives, actually, and they hang around. Because they don't want to miss that particular train. Or sometimes, you know, you may have to punch your card. So if you're late in the office, you get a late coming remark. If you want to know the value of a second, then you ask a person who has met with an accident. And that person will tell you, sab theek tha yaar, aisa dekha to idhar ho gaya accident. Nobody just, you know, bashes into something knowingly. You are just driving and then all of a sudden you look here, there. You just become inattentive and then you meet with an accident. So ask that person. He says, ek hi second, idhar dekha aur ho gaya. And then you ask, if you want to know the value of a moment, a microsecond, ask a 100-meter sprinter. You lose a medal because you are 0.001 second behind. Our sprinter, P.T. Usha, she lost because she was 0.00 something. She could not get a bronze medal also. Now, all three may go to the finish line at the same time, but then it shows this person is first, this person second, this person third, because this person was, you know, 9.93, the other person was 9.89999, something like that. And that person gets the silver medal. Just imagine that. Just because of the micro. So that athlete understands the value of a microsecond. He works throughout the year just to improve upon that microsecond. So he knows that if I just strive a little bit, I will improve on that particular 0.001 second, and then I may get a gold medal. So you can understand how much is the value of a moment. From the materialist people also we understand. So how much devotees have to value the time? How much we should also value that Every moment should be used in Krishna's service and should not be wasted. Chanakya Pandit says, one moment gone, you cannot buy it with millions of millions of. And there is no influence. When the time comes to leave the body, you are just face to face with death. And you cannot say, give me some more time. The time is up. You know. And you cannot exercise your influence over there. So, we find that a devotee always wants to invest in something which is eternal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here to give that ultimate nectar to all of us. The Harinam. The nectar of the holy name. He has given, he has come to give that please come and take this nectar. And by taking this nectar, you will get eternal life. Here we find that the demons and the demigods are hankering for nectar which is only on the material platform. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, has come to give us that nectar. And that nectar when you take, it's going to take you back to the spiritual world. So I just, you know, thought about some points. There may be many more points which may come. But just the difference between what the nectar of this world and the nectar of the spiritual world. If you have some more points, you can give me. I can add on to it. Now we see here that, you know, Lord as Mohini Murti became very partial with the demigods, isn't it? He was very partial with demigods. He did not want to give the demon this particular nectar which he had got. But what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He is actually wanting to give to each and everyone. Forget about demons, demigods, anyone. You know. In fact, he is telling that I don't have much hands to distribute. Please help me to give this nectar. And he doesn't see the qualification of a person who is fit to receive or who is not fit to receive the nectar. He is ready to give to each and every one. Jagai and Madai, they were the demons actually of this world. Kali Yuga. But then the Lord was ready to give the nectar to them also. Now this nectar, which Mohini Murti is trying to give the demigods, is only increasing bodily strength. The demons wanted to have some strength so that they can live long, they can have enough power to face the demons and fight with them. And not get killed immediately. Whereas the nectar of the holy name, it purifies the body, mind and the soul completely. You can imagine how powerful this nectar is then. This nectar is just going to give some body strength, whereas this nectar is going to purify the body, mind and soul. He said, with this nectar, the demigods wanted so that they can destroy the demons. Destroy the demons from outside. Whereas the nectar of the holy name can destroy the demons which are there inside. The six anarthas in our heart, if one takes this nectar and takes it with gratefulness and with, you know, feeling, then it can remove all the anarthas from our heart. With this nectar, there will be no change of consciousness. It will only make you proud that I have some strength. But the holy name nectar can somehow bring about the compassion nature within your heart. And here he says that all the demigods and the demons were running after for this nectar. But the holy name, the devotees are running after others to give the nectar. Here everyone is running towards the nectar, but here the devotees are taking the nectar and says, you please take this nectar, please take this nectar, please take this nectar, you know. That's what is our movement. Spread the holy name, spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And it is also said that if the devotees, you know, want the material nectar, the Lord doesn't give. Whereas here, if a devotee has once tasted the holy name, then the Lord doesn't leave. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, very nice verse is there. कृष्ण कहे आमा बजे मागे विषय सुख, अमृत छाड़ी विषय मागे यही बड़ा मूर्ख। कृष्ण इज सेइंग आमा बजे मागे विषय सुख, कृष्ण कहे आमा बजे मागे विषय सुख, ही वांट्स मटेरियल हैप्पीनेस, अमृत छाड़ी विषय मागे यही बड़ा मूर्ख, इज अ फूल एक्चुअली दैट इज कमिंग हियर आस्किंग फॉर मटेरियल थिंग्स, एक्चुअली इंस्टेड ऑफ नेक्टर इज आस्किंग फॉर पॉइजन। But then, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami understands the mind of Lord. He says, Krishna says, but Ami Vigye, he says, I am very intelligent. Krishna is talking about himself. I am Ami Vigye, Yehi Murke Visha Kene Deba. He says, he is asking for Visha, this fellow, this foolish fellow, Yehi Murke Visha Kene Deba. Why will I give him Visha? Swa Charanamrit Diya Vishaya Bhulaiba. I will give him my own Charanamrit, by which he will forget all the material conditions. So, if someone has just taken shelter of the Lord will always see to that you somehow or the other remain. We only have to express this desire to be with. We find here that Rahu, he got this nectar. But ultimately, what was his nature? That he just wanted to just some other cause trouble to others, right? So what is the use of such a nectar? People in this world, they want to live long, they want to become powerful, they want this, but what is it going to do ultimately? You just want to just exploit, that's all, nothing else. If that is a condition, if that is a nature, or there is a reason for why one wants a nectar, then what is the use of the nectar? Because as you all know, ultimately at a time of death, everything is going to go off. So why not strive for that sort of a nectar, which can not only help us, but also help others also. That's the best. And the best part of this nectar, as here, the demons were afraid that the nectar will get over, and ultimately got over also. The best part of the nectar here, of the holy name, is that the more you give to others, the more nectar you enjoy. It's a different way. You enjoy that nectar more. You give to others and you enjoy more. Anandamudi vardhanam pratipadam purnamir asvadhanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you become happy and then you ultimately go back to the spiritual world. So, one has to only strive to take the nectar of the holy name by remaining the association of the Vaishnavas and hoping that and praying that we never leave the association of devotees. And in that association, just go on collecting as much nectar as possible and then go on distributing the nectar of the holy name. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.